Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
I'm Anthony Adragna, and this is Politico Energy. Did you ever have something you cared a lot about? Like maybe playing the bass? Like my buddy Sam here. Sam loves slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass.
That sounded like Borat.
Yeah.
And jamming with his buddies. But then one day, 4 years ago, Sam just completely lost interest in music altogether. And all the time he used to spend in the garage, he's been spending it going climbing instead. During that time, the band's still been playing, and they've been begging Sam to come back. And now, after a hard 4 year break, Sam's ready to rock on. Okay, real talk here. This isn't about Sam or his band, the Sleepy Monks. It's about the US and climate diplomacy. See, ever since President Obama left office, the US has been playing a minor role in international climate talks and the push to bring countries around the world to ramp up their commitments to fight climate change. And during that time, the world, especially Europe and China, have been moving ahead with their climate policy while nudging America to come back to the table. And this week, not only is the US coming back to the table, but it's setting its own table, with all of its fanciest China, for a big international Earth Day summit.
People are here for a sort of coronation. The U.S. is back, and they really think that they can use the U.S.'s economic and diplomatic heft to drive further ambition from other countries as well. So that is what we're going to be watching.
So today, Politico's Zach Coleman.
The Yanks are coming. The Yanks are coming. Yep, that's it. I mean, this is, we're here. You know, hasta la vista, baby. The U.S. is back, and that's the message.
On Uncle Sam bringing the global climate band back together. It's Monday, April 19th.
What we're going to see is the U.S. issue its nationally determined contribution, which is climate talk slang for its climate goal. We're going to probably see the Biden administration offer a target that incorporates a 50% emissions reduction below 2005 levels by 2030. This is the centerpiece of the event. We don't know whether any other countries are going to bring major new commitments, although we suspect there will be some new commitments.
Who are some of the world leaders that are going to be in attendance here? It's not just traditional American allies, right?
Right. It's a whole gamut. I mean, Russia's invited, so certainly don't have an ally there. You know, you've also seen Saudi Arabia invited. You've seen China, India. You have 20 countries that represent 80% of the world's GDP and emissions all invited here. And then there's another 20 countries that represent, you know, nations that have done well on climate change or those that have some of the most exposed populations to climate change.
In the lead up to the summit, International Climate Envoy John Kerry has been doing quite a whirlwind of travel. Where has he been traveling? What has he been hoping to get out of those visits?
I mean, airline miles. No, I'm kidding. You know, he's been trying to get some more commitments. I mean, I don't think that the administration is going to say publicly that John Kerry's goal was to get big splashy announcements for this event, but obviously these conversations are geared towards driving ambition. So he went to the UAE, talked to Gulf producing nations. I've talked to people who said that there is a back channel conversation happening between Gulf oil producing nations and the US trying to get some sort of unified climate statement that does not appear likely to emerge in time for this summit. And John Kerry has been trying to get commitments from South Korea and Japan to end public financing of coal. And he actually went to China as well to try to get a deal there, though that does not seem likely for President Xi to make a big splashy announcement at Joe Biden's event for any number of reasons.
Yeah, can we go into some of those reasons? What are some of the theories about why we're not expecting really major commitments at this Biden-hosted summit?
Well, there's a huge international calendar pact this year. I mean, we've got the G7 still to come, the G20. There's the UN General Assembly, where certainly the Secretary General is going to try to get a whole bunch of countries to make their own splashy commitments there. And then we've got Glasgow, the COP in November. So I think that there's a tough thing going on here for the US when they're trying to get other people to make an announcement on their stage, knowing that they would probably be the ones getting the credit and not the countries making the action.
You mentioned the centerpiece of this being the revised US pledge. Are there other announcements that we expect to come from the US or that you're on the lookout for?
I think that we can reasonably expect, though I cannot guarantee, some sort of clarity on how the US will approach its own financing for overseas fossil fuel projects. I would expect the US to take a hard line against coal. I don't know exactly in what form that will take, but also a narrow interpretation of what kind of overseas gas projects will be allowed. The finance piece has certainly been prominent in recent days, and you could expect to see, with the global attention on financial regulation with respect to climate change, how the US might want to, you know, lend its voice to that conversation. I think obviously Joe Biden would have liked to have gotten, you know, China or India to make a big statement on climate. I'm not sure whether that was a reasonable expectation, but you know, you wonder what the goal is here with this. And people have described it to me as, you know, this is not the culmination of action. This is a starting gun. And when you look down the long path of international climate events this year, I mean, this is what people have been waiting for. What will the US do? This was the same country that helped deliver momentum for the Paris Agreement when it struck a bilateral deal with China. So is this the US-China moment before the Paris Agreement, but for the Glasgow conference? And is it just the US alone? It might be. We'll see. But this is certainly something that could get things rolling a little bit.
Also, last week, the Interior Department took a drastic shift in the agency's approach to climate change. On Friday, Secretary Deb Haaland signed an order to create a climate task force within the agency that will focus on accelerating renewable energy development, increase adaptation and resilience to the impact of climate change, and address environmental injustice. On the same day, Secretary Haaland rescinded a dozen orders from the Trump administration that sought to expand energy production in public lands and water, including widely expanding oil production in federally protected lands in Alaska. And one last thing before we go, stay tuned until the end of our show to listen to a trailer of our newest podcast, Playbook Deep Dive. The show will take you behind the scenes of Washington every week. But don't let me spoil anything for you. We'll have our team tell you about it. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. I'm Anthony Adragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Chevron is lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations, exploring renewable fuels of the future, and investing in low-carbon technologies. Because it's only human to protect the home we share. Learn more at chevron.com/lowercarbon.
Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, right?
Boy, is it ever, you know? Is it ever.
What's it like behind the scenes in our nation's capital? Like the side that most people never get to see.
D.C. is a place
where...
Is the town filled with status-obsessed, narcissistic, backbiting people.
Everybody has an agenda.
When someone calls to curse me out, it's not fun. And people should stop doing that. Didn't your mama tell you to be nice?
At Politico, we hear it all. And coming soon, you will too.
The old cliche that Washington is Hollywood for ugly people does still ring true.
So while people might not wear great suits, a lot of it might be polyester and maybe not well fitted, you just have to be aware that there is money involved in everything in Washington.
Power.
And a lot of it.
Arm twisting and influence very quickly muddy what folks intended to do or wanted to do.
Presenting Politico's new podcast, Playbook Deep Dive. where Playbook insiders spill their secrets, gossip, lies, bad behavior.
Oh, actually, you should probably cut that because that might be illegal.
And everything else that happens behind closed doors.
And if anybody knows Lisa Murkowski, it's that she walks extremely fast.
Okay.
And she knows how to get in and out without people seeing her.
I found it incredibly difficult and awkward to ask a U.S. congressman if he was an arsonist in front of his wife.
We're in high heels. We can't do it anymore. We literally take our high heels off. We're barefoot in the middle of D.C. How disgusting is that? But we've got to find this woman.
Often at the end of the day, all of those backbiting people are doing things for a more just cause than most things in Hollywood.
And underneath all the theater, the backstabbing, the strategy.
You come here to change your country for the better and to do good things for the nation.
The biggest reason these stories matter is simple. Because there are real life consequences.
I just kept hearing gunfire. And I lie there. I was lying on my left side with my head down, trying to pretend that I was dead.
And sometimes, stories that stop you in your tracks. As when Representative Jackie Speier relived her near-death experience.
And I was shot 5 times, and I looked at the right side of my body. I knew I was dying.
Playbook Deep Dive is a new weekly podcast from Politico. Those juicy, weird, insider, important stories in politics are what we're going to be telling each week.
I don't know if you saw this, and I'm looking at a piece by Politico.
Politico has this story.
Featuring reporters from all around the Politico newsroom and characters from all across Washington, D.C. So please join us for Politico Deep Dive, coming April 23rd.
Have a look at this in Politico.